I'm going to preach a little bit for the next few minutes, literally the few minutes. We have someone else that'll be here and do some other things. And then we will go out to our multipurpose building where there is a free meal. You do have to provide your own transportation for this one, as in walking. And there's a lot of food out there and everything. And we're going to, you'll have a time. We've got a microphone and stuff set up out there. So there'll be time. I know some of you want to say something, how Grand Jan has impacted your life. Just say something about her. And we're going to have that up. So once we start our meal, you'll be able to go up and hear that. We've got a system set up. So you'll be able to do that. So then you can take as long as you want to out there. If you take too long, the last one will get a key and you can lock up when we leave. Amen. And so so we're excited about what's happening there. I do want to talk to you a few minutes on the idea. We talked to David. I didn't prepare this message based on a storm that David sang about, that the anchor holds. But I want to talk to you on this topic for a few minutes. And Noah lived after the flood. And Noah lived after the flood. And you'll be turning, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6 to begin with. But I want to say a little bit about what's happening in the three chapters in Genesis. Chapter 6 through 9 explains and talks about the flood that covered the earth. And we find out why God flooded the earth, that there was a gross sin. Sin was so great, and God was sorry that he made man. And so he flooded the earth. He destroyed man. And then we find out also in chapter 6 and 7 and that we find out how long the flood lasted. Lasted right at a year by the time it receded and everything, a whole year. My goodness, we've had some floods around here and they didn't last that long, but thank God they didn't. But a year's worth of flood on a boat with a bunch of animals. Glory to God. Oh, and by the way, there was women on there, men. Three of them, and there's all your boss. Amen. We find out how long the flood lasted. We find out that most animals died in the flood, but there was some that were saved, that God chose and told Noah which animals to put on the ark. And we find out that all humanity except for 8 people died in the flood. All the people that was on the earth at this time, all of them died except 8 people. That was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. You know, God spared, you know why God spared these 8 people. The Bible tells us in Genesis that because Noah and his family walked with God. It's what they did before the flood that mattered during the flood and after the flood. Because remember, after the flood, after the storm, after the turmoil, Noah lived. He actually lived 350 years beyond the flood. Some of us, we're just trying to muddle and paddle through the flood, the storm of life, if you will. But I'm here to tell you that if you put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, you too can live after the flood, after the storm of life. As the song alluded to, David, so beautifully done, the anchor will hold if you put your trust in Christ Jesus and in him alone. The anchor does hold. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What you do before the flood will determine how you live in the flood and on the other side of the flood. What you do before the storm hits, who you're anchored in, who you're secured to, will determine how you ride out the storm and how you live on the other side of the storm. And Noah, the Bible gives us a really good illustration in Noah that before the flood came, he was a righteous man and he walked with God and he talked with God and he communed with God. He had a relationship with God.
I'm here to tell you, and as Miss Janice can confirm this, that your relationship with Christ does matter in the middle of the storm. It matters how you stand in the storm. It matters how you receive the storm. It does matter how you live before the storm, because you will live after the storm. You will be like Noah and you will live after the flood. What you do before the flood will determine how you live after the flood. And Genesis chapter 9, verse 28, the Bible says, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So let me tell you a little bit about a flood. A few years ago, about eight years ago in 2016, I believe it was, we had a flood in this area. Some of you remember. Bobby, do you remember that little flood? I remember Bobby called me that morning before church and says, I'm not going to be at church. My house is about to flood. Oh, I remember you and Miss Janice standing at the door sweeping, thinking, I'm thinking they need to quit because it's coming in fast and they're sweeping out. But they were doing what they thought and needed to be done. And this flood began to come up, and I remember there were several of us after church. We gathered up and we had some supplies. We had some redneck ingenuity going on. Come on, somebody. We had rolls of poly pipe. And we began to roll out a pipe and fill that pipe full of water so that it would be a barrier around the houses we could save. But you know, we didn't get to save completely your house. There was a few inches of water in your house, the best I recollect. And we went a few days later, after the flood had begun to recede, there was a mess. Not only in their house, but multiple houses around here. There was just the dirt and the grit and the mud from the water that had settled while there was no activity in the house. The water and the mud, it just began to settle, that mud. And we got in there and got to thinking things out. And they have this thing called a muck bucket. A muck bucket is a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket, and it has all kind of cleaning supplies in it, and gloves and sponges and mop heads and all that stuff. And we had muck buckets that we took to people's houses. But we got to some, and we needed more than a muck bucket. We needed some squeegees and some mop buckets because it was terrible. And not only did we need that, the water had risen on wood and sheetrock, and we had to cut that out. It left a devastating smell in the house. It began to stink after a while if you've had this old Mississippi Delta mud water. It'll get stagnant on you, and you just, oh, good Lord. And we had to go in and clean this, and it got all under the wood. It took forever, and fans, you couldn't buy a fan within 300 miles of here in 2016. I mean, you'd give almost $500 for a box fan. I mean, they were in high demand. But you know, as people began to regroup and the water receded and they saw the devastation of the storm, they said, you know, this is not as bad as what we thought it was going to be in the beginning, because we didn't know how high the water was really going to get. You start listening to some of the emergency management people, and dear God, the levee was going to break. I mean, I knew people that pulled up a house. I live right across the bridge in Greenville and right on the levee. And I knew people that pulled their boats up to their back door in case the levee broke and it came fast, they could jump in the boat with their family and at least be above the water. Pretty good idea if you live close to the water. And so I all these expectations of the storm, how bad it was going to be, this flood, none of that happened. But there was storms, there was floods in lots of people's houses. And I'm saying this to say that when we assess the damage after the water had receded, it wasn't as bad as it seemed. It could have been worse. A lot of the people that I know were Christian people that had flood damage. Oh, was it bad? Absolutely, it was bad. It turned their life upside down. They had to move out or move in one room and let this stuff dry out, let the muck be pushed out and the remodeling process start. I want to tell you that storms of life will do you the same way. They'll come at you unexpected. You may have a little warning, like the Weather Channel gave us a warning, we're going to get some rain. But the Weather Channel didn't tell us that somewhere up around Dermot that a little levee was going to break. They didn't tell us that. They didn't know that. And this water came fast in this area. And when we finally realized our houses were going to flood, it was almost too late. It was really too late to stop water from coming into a lot of houses. But because we had an anchor in Christ, we knew that our possessions and our hope was not in the things that we possess. It is in Christ and in Him alone where your possession should lie, where your hope and your joy and your excitement should be. And so we saw that. We saw people's lives that, God's got a reason, God's got a plan, and I've got insurance. Come on, somebody. We're going to rebuild. It's going to be better than it was before. It may be a little bit of turmoil in the middle of our storm. We might not have wanted to remodel or to change some things. But when we find out that you have insurance and it's flood insurance and they'll pay, all of a sudden you want to be, well, let's do this. Sounds like a pretty good idea. In the storms of life, you may not know that the storm comes. You may not get much warning. You may not have all the things in place that you need to weather the storm or to put off the storm. But if your hope's in Christ, you can weather the storm. You can go through the storm, as we're going to learn in a minute. All of these storms of life, it's not the end of your life. And if your hope is in Christ and your faith is in Christ, guess what? If it's the end, oh my goodness, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're going to be with Him. Amen. I tell my wife and kids, oh hey, if I get there, don't pray me back. I might not get in the second go around. I just want to be sure. Let me give you some illustrations. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. If you read the whole account, you'll see that the king really didn't want to put Daniel in the lion's den. But it was a storm in his life. And Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And the last words that the king said before he retired to his palace was, Daniel, pray to your God that He will deliver you. And I believe He will. And King goes to bed and couldn't sleep, and he gets up early the next morning and he comes back to the pit and he hollers out to Dad, Daniel, are you alive? Did your Savior protect you last night? Did He deliver you from the mouth of the lion? And Daniel hollers back, yes, He did. Matter of fact, He delivered me and He told me I had done no wrong and I hadn't done wrong to you. And the king immediately gets him out of his flood, of his storm. Christ can do the same thing. God can do the same thing to you. But see, it's what Daniel did before he got put in the lion's den. The reason he got put in the lion's den, because he was following his Christ, his Savior, his God. We also find in Daniel chapter 3, three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. God didn't keep them from the furnace, but He kept them from being consumed by the fire. God didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den, but He kept him from the mouth of the lion. These three boys were worshipers of God. Again, it's what you do before the storm that determines how you live after the storm and through the storm.
And these three boys were, the king was mad because they disobeyed his commandment, and they heated up the fiery furnace 7 times hotter. It was so hot that when they bound them with their feet and their hands and put all their clothes on them, they threw them in the fire, that the armed guards who threw them in, they died. It was so hot. They threw three in, and just in a minute later, the king says, "What's going on in there? We threw three in, but I see four walking around in the fire. And the fourth looks like the Son of God." Amen. I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be good here. And you keep reading. And he goes to the fire as close as he could, and he hollers out, "Hey, boys, come to the edge of the furnace. I need to talk to you." And they come up and they said, "Yes, King, what is it?" And he said, "Who's in there with you?" "Oh, it's just our friend, King Jesus." "Well, y'all come on out, would you? I need to talk to you." And they come out, and the Bible says that their clothes weren't burned, their hair wasn't singed, and they didn't have any smell of smoke on them while they were in the fire. I'm telling you, it's who you trust and who you believe in before the fire, before the storm, before the flood will determine how you live afterwards. Also, God didn't keep Noah from the flood, but he delivered him from it. Sometimes God will give you instructions in the middle of your storm that seem absurd. Look at Noah. "I want you to build an ark." What's that? He had to give him the dimensions and tell him exactly how to build it, what kind of wood and what to do to build this ark. How long and how wide and how tall to build this ark. And he said, "Because it's going to rain." And Noah said, It's going to what? They hadn't needed rain up to this point, but it's going to rain. And when it rains, you and your family is going to be on the boat, and this boat's going to float. And I'm going to keep you on top of the storm, on top of the flood. He didn't keep him from it, but he kept him above it. I've been through a lot of storms and a lot of floods personally in my life with different things that's going on. And I've wondered sometimes, and I've even questioned God, "Why me? Why do I have to go through this, God? What's the problem? What did we do wrong?" We start searching our lives, and sometimes you're just going to go through the fire. You're just going to go through the storm. God's not mad at you, but if you have your trust in him, no matter what comes, you'll start saying, "Well, God, I know that I'm going through the storm, and I don't know why, but I know and I trust in you that you're going to keep me through the storm. You're going to keep me while I'm in the storm from being burned, while the rains come. You'll keep me floating on the top. I will not be overcome by the storms of life." The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if you have a red letter edition, this is in red letter. And Jesus says that I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Oh, I don't think you caught that. Jesus said, "I'm not come to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly." That doesn't mean that you're never going to go through a storm. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be rainy days in your life. That doesn't mean that the floodwaters won't come. That means that you're going to have life even in the middle of the storm. And I'm here to tell you that when you find life and joy and excitement in the storm, you have got a hold of something, as the song sings, "The anchor holds." Though your ship be battered and torn, the anchor holds. If you put your trust in him, you put your faith in him, his anchor will hold in your storm. Hallelujah. I've got just a couple of minutes and I'm going to be finished. I know it's a miracle of God because it's 11:29. God may not keep you from the storms of life, but he will deliver you from them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the word of God says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Hallelujah.
You know, I look back in my life and how I used to react to storms and floods when I wasn't walking with God is a whole lot different than how it is now. Because there's something in me. The old reactions, the old way I used to look at a storm, the old way that I used to look at the floodwaters coming is totally different because that's the old me. And if you find your trust and your hope and your anchor in Christ Jesus, guess what? You will view your storms differently. They won't seem as big sometimes, and sometimes they'll seem bigger. But when they seem bigger, you got to know that you serve a bigger God, that he has an anchor that if you'll grab onto, you will not be moved. We used to sing a song years ago, like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. We got people now that move with, if you say something wrong, people will leave. If they don't line up theologically, they'll leave. If you don't talk to them at the back, they'll leave. If you don't shake their hand, they'll leave. Just a wavering with the sea, with the wind. You know why? They're not anchored in Christ. They don't grab a hold of the anchor that holds. I want to challenge you today. Know how you're living before the storm, because the storm will pass. And when the storm passes, you'll still be floating. You'll still be standing because Christ is on your side. Amen and amen. Look, I hope you've enjoyed today. I'm not going to give an altar call. If you need to see me, you can see me afterwards. We're going to do something a little different.